Aloha. I'm Mike Buck. The next show coming up, the Hawaiian Ice Show, is going to be great, so keep it locked right here on News Radio 830 KHVH. This show every Saturday morning features Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora, medical director of the Hawaiian Eye Center. You know these guys. The Hawaiian Eye Center. They've been around forever. They brought you this high-quality radio show for years and, of course, are Hawaii's leaders in eye care. The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, is all about eyes. You'll hear about the latest advances in eye care, new technology, and all the latest news about cataracts, glaucoma, diabetes, and laser. You'll even have a chance to call internationally recognized eye expert Dr. Christopher Tortora with your questions for the doctor. So please, don't touch that dial. Listen to Dr. Tortora so you can see what you've been missing.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join us today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online, www.hawaiianeye.com, or follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com and looking for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. You can also send us questions here this morning via Twitter if you like. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Sometimes there are even a few surprises. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, it's New Year's Day, January 1st, 2011, 1111. Interesting combination there. So happy New Year to everybody, and I hope that you had a safe and enjoyable New Year's celebration last evening. The New Year's always makes me very nervous because that's the time when all of these fireworks are being used and these explosive bombs, in a sense, are being used by people who aren't necessarily trained to use them. And so there are bound to be injuries, which there are, unfortunately, every year. There are obviously there's also a significant risk of eye injuries. People don't usually think to put on eye protection before they go out and set off fireworks, aerial fireworks and firecrackers and so on. And so anytime an explosion happens close to your face, of course, there's that risk that something could fly into your face or fly into your eye and cause an injury. So I hope everyone was safe, and I hope there weren't any serious eye injuries. It's too early to actually know whether there were serious eye injuries that occurred last night as a result of fireworks use. The other interesting question is, will the fireworks use change next year when the law changes? Will people who currently set off illegal aerial fireworks still set off illegal aerial fireworks when they become even more illegal, I guess? I mean, they're already illegal, so people already set them off, so I don't know. But the interesting thing I noticed, and I don't know if anyone out there had a different experience, but the thing that I noticed is that there weren't as many of the traditional strings of firecrackers going off, at least in my neighborhood, as there usually are. And I don't know what the reason for that would be, but it seemed like there were a whole bunch of aerial fireworks and things that and fireworks going off with large displays, large explosive displays. But the traditional popping of the strings of firecrackers was hardly in evidence at all in my neighborhood. I really heard very few of those strings of fireworks going off. So I don't know if people have abandoned those because they know that that's what they'll be using for future years, or whether there is a or whether that was just my neighborhood that was different from the rest of the country. Well, since it is New Year's Day, and since we're here in the studio, whereas many of you who are out there may still be groggy from celebration or just kind of half listening, but for those of you who are listening, for those few out there who are up early on New Year's Day, I want to go ahead and review a few people's sort of top 10 for New Year's that are health related. We've got an article here from the Star Advertiser that says that we should try to make our New Year's resolutions, at least some of them, health related. So the editor here, the editorial here in the Star Advertiser suggests that people try to make some small changes in their New Year resolutions rather than trying to make an 180-degree turn. And so it is a doctor who is making these recommendations since they are health-related. It's Ira Zunin, MD, Medical Director of Manukai Omalama Integrative Healthcare Group. And his recommendations are that you ought to, for the New Year resolutions, look at things like diet. High blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol are among the most common health problems in Hawaii, he says. Remember, salt affects blood pressure. Most of the salt we eat is not what we sprinkle on, but what's hidden in prepared foods. Read labels on cans and jars. You might be shocked at how much sodium, fat, and sugar they contain. Avoid them altogether or choose the low-salt option if available. Fructose, sugars, and white foods like rice, potatoes, and bread affect diabetes. Shift to yams or sweet potatoes from white potatoes and to whole grains, especially brown rice instead of white rice. Fatty foods raise cholesterol. For starters, curb the fast foods, French fries and katsu. The more you're able to prepare your own meals, the more you can ensure that they're healthy. Always buy food that's grown locally and organic when possible. Eat more greens. Okay, so that's one recommendation for the new year, for your New Year's resolution from Dr. Zunin. And the second one here in the Star Advertiser is exercise. He says, we're so blessed to live in paradise that it makes exercising fun. How many places on earth can we walk, run, hike, swim, surf, play tennis, or bike in the beautiful outdoors 12 months of the year? The key is to create a routine that fits with your schedule and that you find inspiring. In general, low-impact exercise is better than high, and symmetrical activities are better than ones that always use one arm or one leg and have you twisting in the same direction every time. Consider something like yoga, he says. Alcohol. He says keep alcohol to no more than 2 drinks per day. And if you abstain during the week, don't make up for lost time on the weekends. Excess alcohol is hard on the liver, increases body weight and blood pressure, and weakens our resolve to stay on track. And of course, in advance of a party, identify the designated drinkers and the designated drivers. Good advice. Okay, so just reading some of the potential New Year's resolutions that are health-related that Dr. Zunin has published in the Star Advertiser here. Number 4, sleep. Americans are sleep deprived. Many work long hours and worry that they might lose their jobs in this struggling economy. Our addiction to high-tech devices like computers, cell phones, and video games can also deplete our sleep. Commit to getting as close to 8 hours of sleep at night as possible. Try turning off your tech devices at least 1 hour before bedtime. Well, that's good advice. That way you're not checking email just before sleep and getting roiled up about whatever you're finding there if it's business-related. Number 5, ohana. Spend quality time with those you care about. And remember that loving relationships need to be fed and nourished. So much of successful parenting depends on our ability to support the budding interests of our children and to set aside our own bright ideas about what is best for them. Number 6, community and environment. Look beyond the daily routine to consider the needs of our local community and fragile environment. Commit to making a difference, and number 7, random acts of kindness. Too often, business decisions motivated by what we will get in return. In addition to cultivating integrity and transparency, don't resist the urge to give from the heart without expectations. Okay, so that's Dr. Ira Zunin's recommendations, health resolutions for the new year, as published in the Honolulu Star Advertiser online version. And I just thought that we'd share that this morning, since it is New Year's Day. And I hope those of you who are just getting up are not hung over from a lot of celebration New Year's Eve. I kind of find the older that I get, the less fuss I make about New Year's Eve. So I guess if there are any young people out there listening, remember now what you feel like this morning so that you can pay attention next New Year's Eve. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost from paradise?
All right, welcome back, everyone. And here we are on the Hawaiian Eye Show. For those of you intrepid souls who are awake at this early hour on New Year's Day. Of course, it's not that early, but if you were out partying till well after midnight last night, it may very well be, particularly if you embrace one of the New Year's resolutions that I just read that are health-related, that says that sleep should be one of your New Year's resolutions to resolve to get as close as possible to 8 hours of sleep. So if you went to bed at 1 a.m., you may just be stirring now. I know my neighbors probably didn't go to bed at 1 a.m. because when I did, it was they were still playing a lot of music and shooting off some fireworks. So the New Year's celebration is always an interesting time where you're saying goodbye to the old and welcome to the new. So New Year's resolutions are one way of looking at the future, looking to the future. And the other thing that is often done at this time of year is to look back at what has happened over the past year and to see what is important or influential. So I noticed that on Twitter there was a note from the Harvard Health Letter, a tweet from the Harvard Health Letter that mentioned what their particular editor, which is whose name is Peter Wehrwein, he thought were the most important top 10 health stories for 2010. So I thought I'd share a few of those, some of those top 10 health stories as chosen by the editor of the Harvard Health Letter. So the first number one health story of 2010 is healthcare reform. Of course, all of us have heard a lot about healthcare reform, and the thing is that it is also a little bit poorly understood what exactly that involves, what the legislation that was passed actually involves, and why there's so much controversy about it. So let's see what Mr. Wehrwein had to say about it. He says, how could healthcare reform legislation that President Barack Obama signed into law on March 23, 2010, not be the number one story of the year. Whether you're for or against it, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is nothing if not ambitious. And if implemented, it will fundamentally alter how American health care is financed and perhaps delivered. The law is designed to patch holes in the health insurance system and extend coverage to 32 million Americans by 2019, while also reining in health care spending, which now accounts for more than 17% of the country's gross domestic product. Huge amount of money that we spend on health insurance in this country and health care in this country, taking care, whether it's the individual paying the money, whether it's insurance companies paying the money, or government paying the money. So we're counting down, we're talking about some of the top 10 health stories of 2010. We're talking about healthcare reform. And so going on in this article, it says the biggest changes aren't scheduled to occur until 2014, when most people will be required to have health insurance or pay a penalty, the so-called individual mandate, and when state-level health insurance exchanges should be in place. The Medicaid program is also scheduled to be expanded that year so that it covers more people, and subsidized insurance will be available through the exchanges for people in middle and lower income brackets. But plenty is happening before 2014. The 1,000-page law contains hundreds of provisions, and they're being rolled out in phases. This year, for example, the law created high-risk pools for people with pre-existing conditions. Okay, so we're talking about the Health Care Reform Act and what's happening now versus in the next several years. The high-risk pools for people with pre-existing conditions require health plans to extend coverage to adult children up to age 26 and imposed a 10% tax on indoor tanning salons. Next year, about 20 different provisions are scheduled to take effect, including the elimination of co-payments for many preventative services for Medicare enrollees, the imposition of limits on non-medical spending by health plans, and the creation of a voluntary insurance that will help pay for some for home health care and other long-term care services received outside a nursing home. Getting a handle on the complicated law is difficult. If you're looking for a short course, the Kaiser Family Foundation has created an excellent timeline of the law's implementation and a short 9-minute animated video that's one of the best and most amusing overviews available. The big question now is whether the sweeping health care law can survive the various legal and political challenges. In December, a federal judge in Virginia ruled that the individual mandate was unconstitutional. Meanwhile, congressional Republicans have vowed to thwart the legislation, and if the party were to win the White House and control of the Senate in the 2012 election, Republicans would be in position to follow through on their threats to repeal the law. So if you want to learn more and see if, in fact, decide for yourself, if, in fact, you are for or against the health care reform bill or elements of it, try the Kaiser Family Foundation for the timeline of the law's implementation and the video that they have. I don't have a specific web address, but it should be available if you search for the Kaiser Family Foundation. So that's probably the top health story of 2010. Looking back at the year in health in 2010 here on the Hawaiian Eye Show, you're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're usually talking about eyes, but today we've decided to talk a little bit about health care over the past year, and what types of things have been occurring and what's been happening in 2010 that is noteworthy and likely to make a big difference into the future. Okay, and I'm reading some of the top 10 health stories of 2010 as reported by the editor of the Harvard Health Letter, a publication that deals with health-related issues. So number two, what he thinks is the number two health story of 2010 is smartphones, medical apps, and remote monitoring. So smartphones and tablet computers are making it easier to get healthcare information, advice, and reminders on an anywhere and anytime basis. Hundreds of health and medical apps for smartphones like the iPhone became available this year. Some are just for fun. Others provide useful information like calorie counters, first aid, and CPR instructions, or perform calculations. Even the federal government is getting into the act. The app store it opened this summer has several free health-related apps. The federal government opening an app store. What do you know? The government is catching up with technology. They opened in their app store the health-related apps include one called My Dietary Supplements for keeping track of vitamins and supplements, and another one from the Environmental Protection Agency that allows you to check the UV index and air quality wherever you are. Smartphones are also being used with at-home monitoring devices. For example, glucose meters have been developed that send blood sugar readings wirelessly to an app on a smartphone. The number of doctors using apps and mobile devices is increasing, a trend that is likely to accelerate as electronic health records become more common. Check out iMedical Apps if you want to see the apps your doctor might be using or talking about. It has become a popular website for commentary and critique of medical apps for doctors and medical students. iMedical Apps, iMedical APPS. So try that, iMedical Apps, if you want to see what's going on. Meanwhile, the FDA is wrestling with the issue of how tightly it should regulate medical apps. Some adverse events resulting from programming errors have been reported to the agency. Medical apps are part of a larger e-health trend toward delivering healthcare reminders and advice remotely with the help of computers and phones of all types. These phone services are being used in combination with increasingly sophisticated at-home monitoring devices. Research results have been mixed. Simple, low-cost text messages have been shown to be effective in getting people to wear sunscreen. But one study published this year found that regular telephone contact and at-home monitoring of heart failure patients had no effect on hospitalizations or death from any cause over a six-month period. Another study found that remote monitoring did lower hospital readmission rates among heart failure patients, although the difference between remote monitoring and regular care didn't reach statistical significance. Okay, so technology is here. Technology not only is on its way, but it's here. And as medical apps go, I think there are going to be more and more of them over time. People depend more on their smartphone devices, personalized computers that you can carry in the palm of your hand, or computers that you can sit in front of. And so that's one of the important top 10 stories in healthcare in 2010. We're reading some of these top 10 health stories of 2010 as discussed by the editor of the Harvard Health Letter, a publication dealing with healthcare issues. Okay, so he considers number three healthcare story the new CPR guidelines. The American Heart Association did issue new guidelines for CPR this year. They continue to trend towards simplifying CPR and emphasizing chest compressions. For trained rescuers, the guidelines change the CPR sequence from airway breathing and chest compressions and the ABC mnemonic to putting chest compressions first, followed by checks of the airway and breathing, or CAB. People who haven't had CPR training are encouraged to do only chest compressions because they are easily and more readily guided by dispatchers over the telephone. The compressions should be fast, about 100 times a minute, and hard, so the chest goes down by 2 inches or more. The American Heart Association produced a very good video about the guidelines that's well worth watching. Fewer than half of those who suffer cardiac arrest receive CPR, so the hope is that if more people can give CPR and quickly, if it's simpler and doesn't involve mouth-to-mouth breathing, the guidelines note that the results for chest compressions only CPR are similar to those for traditional CPR for adults in cardiac arrest outside the hospital. But conventional CPR is still better for children because cardiac arrest in children is usually preceded by lack of breathing. So the mouth-to-mouth breaths are needed to restore oxygen level in the blood. Research results reported this year in the Lancet Journal of the American Medical Association and New England Journal of Medicine all suggest that in most cardiac arrest cases, chest compression-only CPR is as effective, if not more so, than conventional CPR. So one of the top news stories of 2010, changes in the guidelines for CPR. The CPR guidelines currently are oriented more toward doing chest compressions once you find that someone's collapsed and they have no pulse. If you can keep their blood circulating because their heart has stopped, if you can keep their blood circulating, whether or not they're breathing, this seems to prolong or increase the likelihood that they'll survive the cardiac arrest. So some of the top 10 stories of 2010, we're going to get to a few more of them in 2 minutes or so as soon as we get back from this short break for the news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
In Santiago del Estero, Argentina, we have a preliminary magnitude of 6.9. It's a pretty deep earthquake at about 350 miles beneath the surface.
Jessica Segala with the National Geographic Survey. No injuries or damage reports have come in. The quake hit at 6:56 a.m. local time. A couple from North Carolina tied the knot in front of millions this New Year's Eve.
It feels absolutely incredible. We're so excited that GetMarried.com chose us. It's such an amazing event, and we're so excited to be a part of it.
Bethany Phillips, they won the contest to get married. They had to write a story about how the couple met. The multi-state Mega Millions lottery game jumped from a giant $237 million to a massive $290 million for the January 4th drawing. The lottery is played in 41 states in Washington, D.C. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Any company is that it has sound fundamentals. We hesitate to even mention this because so many scams are built around it, but the IRS says it's trying to...
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running, hey, hey, skipping and jumping, in the misty morning fog with...
Okay, welcome back, everyone. And here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. The Hawaiian Eye Show is brought to you by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We have offices in central Oahu, which are convenient, which is that office is convenient to people who don't want to go into Honolulu, don't want to fight traffic, who are out in the leeward side of the island or up on the north shore, central Oahu. And we have an office in Hilo, which is convenient to people on the windward side of the Big Island. So trying to serve as many people as we can at Hawaiian Eye Center, take care of everyone's general eye care needs. Of course, we specialize in care of medical problems in the eyes, but we also take care of a wide variety of things like eyeglasses and take care of general eye examinations for adults and children. We also take care of medical problems like glaucoma, diabetic eye conditions, and cataract that affect people's eyes. Of course, eye infections, eye irritations, foreign objects in eyes, injuries in eyes, all of those things are also important things that we take care of. This morning, it's New Year's Day. And hopefully there are at least a few people out there who are up and about who are listening to us. And so this morning we're doing something a little bit different on the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about some of the top news stories of 2010. And I've been reading some of the top 10 news stories as selected by the editor of the Harvard Health Letter. And for these stories, we've been... going over why he thinks that these stories are important and why they're going to make a difference in healthcare for 2011 and beyond as being the important stories for 2010. So the next story that we're going to talk about, the next major health story for 2010 is making stem cells. Okay, it says here, heart attacks, strokes, and many other conditions destroy cells, and for years, scientists believed that it was impossible to make replacements. Then 4 years ago, a Japanese researcher named Shinya Yamanaka discovered a technique for reprogramming cells back into stem cells so that they would function like a biological blank slate and be capable of turning into any other type of cell. Dr. Yamanaka called his creations induced pluripotent stem cells, and a whole new frontier of stem cell research opened up. Scientists have since figured out ways to turn one cell type directly into another type. Blood vessel cells have been turned into bone and fat cells, and skin cells have been turned into blood cells. And this year, stem cell research took another leap forward when a Harvard researcher whose name is Derek Rossi reported results demonstrating a technique that may make the creation of induced pluripotent stem cells a lot easier and safer. Rossi and his colleagues at the Harvard Stem Cell Institute reprogrammed adult skin cells with synthetic messenger RNA that leaves DNA intact instead of inserting genes into DNA. Whatever that means, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Research with embryonic stem cells remains important. In October 2010, Geron, a California biotech company, began enrolling people in a trial to test the safety of using cells derived from embryonic stem cells to treat spinal cord injuries. But researchers are also making some remarkable progress toward turning readily available cells, such as skin or blood cells, into other types of cells. These new cells would be genetically identical to other cells in the body and therefore shouldn't be rejected by the immune system when they're transplanted to replace cells lost to disease. Now, when you think about it, this has a tremendous potential. So stem cells, basically, for those of you who are not really understanding what stem cells are, so basically you want to think about all of your body, different parts of your body. Different parts of the body have different functions, and the little building blocks or the cells that make up these different parts of the body actually have different characteristics based on what type of function that particular cell has. So the cells in skin have very different properties from the cells in muscle. Skin cells are designed to create a protective barrier. Hair cells function differently than other types. Well, actually, hair doesn't have cells. Hair has cells, but hair is dead. It's not living, so it's not a good example. But your heart, for example, is a muscular tissue, and those muscular cells are designed to contract. Your eye has very different types of structures compared with your kidneys or your liver or many other parts of the body. So each part of the body, each organ has a different function, and each of these functions is in part governed by what type of cells that particular organ is made of. And the cells are basically the building blocks of the tissue. And so cells in different parts of the body have very different properties. But when a child is conceived and develops from a single cell into an entire person, an entire child or baby, the single cell develops into all of those other types of cells all throughout the body. And so what that means is that the original cells that develop when an embryo begins to develop, are capable of turning into any other type of cell in the body. And so what scientists grasped onto with this is that if you can make structures that are similar to structures anywhere else in the body, theoretically you can go ahead and replace damaged or broken bits of structures by taking these special cells that have the potential to turn into different parts, different types of body parts or organs and so forth, and replacing the existing ones that are damaged with the new ones. And these so-called pluripotent cells, pluri means multiple, potent, potential, or power. So they have multiple potential. These cells can develop into many other cells in the body. So think about it as far as this might affect the eyes, for example. Let's say you have a damaged retina. You have macular degeneration, for example, age-related macular degeneration. And the problem is that the cells in your macula, in the part of the eye that's responsible for the sharpest, clearest vision, are damaged, and these damaged cells cannot be replaced or regenerated. Think about what would happen if we were able to somehow take cells, new cells, that were part of your own body, so they wouldn't be rejected by your body, that could then be put into the a part of the eye that is not working properly and basically restore the vision by giving you back that structure which has been damaged by the disease that you have, the macular degeneration in this case. It would be a remarkable thing, and you could think of thousands of applications throughout medicine where this might happen. If someone has kidneys damaged by diabetes, they might be able to restore the function of the kidneys by using these stem cells to create new kidney tissue which functions versus the kidney tissue that doesn't function. And if these cells are from embryos, well, that's one thing that's a little bit difficult to get that tissue and so forth. But if you can make these cells out of the cells of your skin, just do a little skin scraping and then grow a cell culture, create pluripotent cells that then can be used to function anywhere in your body that they're needed, the implications of that are nearly unlimited. I mean, there's all kinds of applications that that could provide. So the development of stem cells, making them more easily accessible by getting normal cells and turning them into pluripotent cells or stem cell type cells, something that may have a tremendous impact on medicine. And I can think of 6 or 7 applications just in the eyes themselves where stem cells may make a huge difference in people's ability to see and function with the limited vision that they may currently have, that could be significantly improved with the advent of stem cells and certain types of work that could be done. Okay, so we're looking at what the editor of the Harvard Health Letter feels are the top 10 stories of 2010, which has talked about some of the developments that have occurred in stem cell research as number 4. Number 5, he feels, is the heightened awareness of concussions. It says concern about sports-related concussions, especially in football, has been growing as evidence has increased that repeated concussions can cause permanent brain damage over the long term, even if the short-term effects are fairly mild. Most concussions do not result in loss of consciousness, for example, and CAT scans and MRI scans are normal. Some researchers are calling concussion-related brain damage chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Encephalopathy is a catch-all term for any degenerative disease of the brain. There were several efforts in 2010 to reduce the number and severity of concussions. The National Football League started to fine players for illegal hits this season. The American Academy of Neurology came out with a position paper that says any athlete who might have suffered a concussion shouldn't be allowed to participate again until he or she has been evaluated by a doctor with training in the evaluation and management of sports concussions. The American Academy of Pediatrics released a report about sports-related concussions in children and adolescents that says younger people often need more time, 7, 10, or 10 days or longer, to recover from a custom concussion than a college or professional athlete might. Several states have passed laws requiring high schools to have concussion management programs. The concussion risk is greater for football players, but girl basketball and soccer players also have relatively high rates. Meanwhile, research into concussions continues. Boston University researchers who have been prominent in the field caused a stir with a finding that linked concussions and chronic traumatic encephalopathy to amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. That's a degenerative disease of the nervous system that leads to progressive paralysis and loss of muscle function over time. So what else does the editor of the Harvard Health Letter think are some of the top 10 stories of 2010? Well, number 6, it says an anti-aging possibility. It says researchers at the Harvard-affiliated Dana-Farber Cancer Institute reported results this year that kindled hopes for altering the fundamental biology of aging. The experiment involved mice that had been genetically engineered so that the enzyme called telomerase, which is known to be important in aging of cells, would be turned on and off. When the enzyme was turned off, the mice aged prematurely. When they reached the chronological equivalent of adolescence, they appeared to be biologically very old. Their brains and other organs had shrunk and were starting to fail. When the scientists turned on the enzyme, promptly the brain and other shrunken organs started to grow with new cells and organ failure ceased. The animals recovered their sense of smell. You might say the mice became adolescents again. Of course, what works in mice doesn't always work in humans. There are concerns that the activation of telomerase could cause cancer, although that didn't occur in this particular experiment. And this is very much an experimental finding at this point. All of the products making anti-aging claims are way ahead of the game and not to be trusted. Okay, so don't trust those anti-aging claims that you see out there. Still, along with other research, this study hints at a future when it might be possible to slow down biological aging and possibly prevent some of the diseases associated with it. Okay, some interesting stories from 2010 that we've been covering here on the Hawaiian Eye Show. And we haven't been talking too much about eyes. But if you have a question and would like to ask us about eyes or about anything else, go ahead and give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. We're happy to take your calls. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with a few more of the top 10 news stories of 2010.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Dr. Maya.
Welcome back, everyone. Here we are in the last segment, of the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora, and we're talking not about eyes as much this morning as about some of the top news stories from 2010. Here we are on New Year's Day, January 1st. I hope some of you are up and recovered from New Year's. There were a lot of aerial fireworks last night, the dangerous kind that we keep talking about, and not sure that the new law here in Hawaii is going to have a significant impact on the changes in what's going on with the fireworks things, because most of the fireworks that I saw last night, I think, were illegal anyway. So if they're illegal last year and they're going to be, or this year and they're going to be illegal again next year, they probably will still be out there. So I don't know how much things will really change. But the concern is that with these illegal fireworks, these big bombs and big rockets that shoot way up into the air, there's a lot of explosive power in those fireworks. And there is a significant risk of injury for people who are using these, particularly people who are not trained or familiar with some of the safety precautions that might be necessary to make sure that the use of these types of rockets and fireworks are as safe as they could be. So I hope that no one got hurt out there. I haven't heard yet about eye injuries, but I know that each year we do encounter people with eye injuries, sometimes very serious eye injuries due to fireworks. And so I'm hoping that that's not the case this year, but I don't know yet. I haven't spoken to my friends who covered the emergency rooms at the hospitals last night. We're talking this morning about some of the top news stories in 2010 that are health related. We've talked about a number of them so far. We've been looking at the news stories that are suggested by the editor of the Harvard Health Letter as some of the top news stories for this year, and so we're on to number 7, which he feels are CAT scans or CT scans for lung cancer screening. Says more Americans die from lung cancer than from any other type of cancer. yet there is no accepted screening test for the disease. Study results reported this year may change that situation. The National Cancer Institute stopped the National Lung Screening Trial comparing CT scans to chest x-rays earlier than expected because the CT scans appeared to be so effective at reducing lung cancer deaths. The trial included 53,000 current and former heavy smokers, they had 30 pack years or more. A pack year is how many packs per day over a year. So if you have one pack per day for a year, that's one pack year. If you do two packs per day for a year, that's two pack years. If you do one pack per day for 10 years, that's 10 pack years, etc. It says results released in October showed that over a five-year period, 354 of those screened with CT scans, CAT scans, died from lung cancer, about 1.4%, compared to 442 of those screened with chest x-rays, about 1.7%. Catching any cancer at an earlier, more treatable stage is an appealing idea, and especially lung cancer, because of the high mortality rate. But screening tests have become more controversial lately because of concerns that they lead to overdiagnosis and overtreatment. Almost one in every four people who are screened with CT scans in the National Lung Screening Trial had a false positive, the finding of an abnormality that turns out not to be cancer. There are also concerns about radiation exposure from CT scans and whether scans for lung cancer will add to that problem. So if you're scanning someone for lung cancer with x-rays and the x-rays make changes in the lungs that might make it more likely that they develop lung cancer, are you in fact doing people a disservice by increasing the rate of lung cancer versus trying to detect pre-existing lung cancer earlier? And so this is a big dilemma and something that needs to be worked out and by looking at studies and other ways to determine what the various risks and benefits are. Of course, each person has to make a decision about this type of thing, about when they are aware of the risks and benefits, what they feel is important, and whether they want to be screened or whether they're concerned that the screening itself might increase their risk. And so, of course, if you're screening high-risk people, that's one thing. If you're trying to talk about screening everyone, that's a lot different story. Okay, number 8 on the list of the top 10 news stories of 2010 that we've been reading here is new vitamin D guidelines. After years of debate, discussion, and research. So note debate and discussion about vitamin D, a little alliteration there, a bunch of D's. The Institute of Medicine issued new vitamin D guidelines this year. The recommended dietary allowance is now 600 international units a day for people aged 1 to 70 and 800 international units a day for those aged 71 and older. The previous guidelines set in 1997 recommended a daily intake of 200 IU through age 50, 400 IU between ages 51 and 70, and 600 international units for those aged 71 and older. So the IOM, the Institute of Medicine panel, also established a new safe upper limit of 4,000 international units a day, double the old limit of 2,000. The new guidelines were criticized as being too conservative by many experts who would have preferred the recommended daily allowance closer to 1,000 international units a day and a blood level target of 30 nanograms per milliliter for the vitamin, not the 20 nanograms per milliliter set by the panel. The difference of opinion stems in part from the fact that the panel gave results from randomized clinical trials far more weight than results from other types of studies. As a result, the panel found evidence that vitamin D benefits bone and little else. If other kinds of studies are taken into account, a case can be made that blood levels of 30 nanograms per milliliter or even higher would result in optimal bone health, and that the vitamin has a wide range of health effects or health benefits beyond bone, including protective effects against some cancers, especially colon cancer and some autoimmune disorders. The debate about vitamin D is bound to continue. Soon after the panel released its report, a different set of experts, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, came out with fall prevention recommendations that include an endorsement of vitamin D. So there you have it. Vitamin D has become the vitamin of the moment, the popular vitamin of 2010, because new recommendations were issued about trying to increase the dose of vitamin D that people ingest. So in terms of the top health stories of 2010, we've gone through a few of them, and the ones that were chosen by the Harvard Health people, the Harvard Health letter, are interesting. I want to talk a little bit about what I think are some of the advances in eye care. over the past year or so that we should be aware of. Probably the most interesting thing that's going on in eye care has to do with retina care, that we're finding that more and more types of eye diseases respond to a type of medication called an anti-VEGF medication. VEGF stands for vascular endothelial growth factor, and it's a chemical that's released in different parts of the body, including the eye, which leads to the formation of abnormal blood vessels. And it turns out that in the eye, this type of abnormal blood vessel growth is very damaging to the tissues in the eye. And it turns out that this factor, this protein, is produced inside the eye in response to a number of different conditions, ranging from macular degeneration to diabetic eye disease. And by injecting medications that counter this factor, this protein, that you can actually create an improved situation in the health of the eye and reverse some of the damaging effects. So I think that the anti-VEGF is an important factor. I think that we are continuing to make strides forward in cataract surgery, creating more positive results for many people by correcting astigmatism as well as nearsightedness and farsightedness. So many people who have cataract surgery nowadays can actually reduce their dependence on eyeglasses and see better both far and near without glasses when they've had the cataract removed and replaced with a lens implant that's designed to correct both distance and near vision. So these special lens implants plus implants and other techniques to correct astigmatism help to give people even better vision after cataract surgery than they had throughout much of their lives in some cases. And so this is a big advantage for people who don't like to wear glasses. We're still waiting for breakthroughs in LASIK to try to compensate for both distance and near vision. And although LASIK still remains a popular procedure, it is somewhat limited by the fact that the population who can benefit from it is getting older. And as they do, they develop problems that are not easily corrected by LASIK, like near vision problems, not seeing as well up close, and LASIK does not correct that as well as it does correct distance vision. Once you're over 45 or so, you'll need reading glasses if you have your eyes corrected for distance for LASIK, even if you don't prior to the LASIK procedure. Well, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and healthcare and all kinds of things, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Joe for helping out here in the studio after a long night last night. Joe is still awake there, I think. And I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com and looking for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Place to go when you need to know. Stay informed and share your views.
Obama is a socialist. We want him to fail because of his policies.
News Radio 830 KHVH Honolulu.